When you progress as a leader, you're on the big screen. Even when you're not aware of it, people are watching you to see how you react and how you respond. And to me, that's been very important and impactful. It doesn't mean that you should be fake or dishonest, but you have to be aware of the energy that you're bringing into a situation. That means if I come in really hot with a strong opinion, a hot take, I try to stop myself and share more context.
This is In Her Element, a podcast from BCG. I'm Suchi Srinivasan.
And I'm Camila Rakimova. Each episode, we have meaningful and vulnerable conversations with women leaders and allies in digital, business, and technology.
This week, we're speaking to Emily Miner, Vice President of Partner Science and Business Operations at Starbucks Coffee Company. In this unique role, Emily uses data science to impact her colleagues across the organization.
Leadership isn't an easy thing to transition into, and we'll hear a little later about some of the learning Emily had to do to realize her full potential.
Here's my conversation with Emily.
So my name is Emily Miner, and I am the Vice President of Partner Data Science and Business Operations at Starbucks Coffee Company.
I'm checking. I did have my coffee this morning. That's awesome, Emily.
Awesome.
So you've had such an interesting journey. Now, you actually started your career in anthropology and psychology.
This week, we're
tell us a little bit about where this all started from.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up really interested in math and science, which is probably not surprising given where I landed, but I bounced around a lot from field to field. I had some really wonderful experiences working in scientific research in biology labs, in biochemistry, in biotech labs. I had a summer teaching marine biology, but eventually I went to school for psychology and then anthropology. And that's where I learned about statistics, about how to frame a problem, how to share my findings clearly and concisely with different audiences. And I ended up leaving academia, and it was because I looked backwards and realized that I wasn't as passionate about the individual field or about academia as a whole. What I really love is the generation of new knowledge and insights and the use of math and science to get there. And so that's what led me then to my next steps.
That's a pretty profound aha moment for you to derive that. I bet it felt satisfying to have connected those dots and found your passion.
Absolutely. I would also say I tell that story as if it was a single moment, but it was many months of soul searching and thinking that led to that.
I bet. So now you also went and did some field work in Bolivia with a very remote community of people. So tell us a little bit about that and also what happened as a result of that.
Yeah. So as you or your listeners may know, it's very common to do field work as part of anthropology graduate programs. And as part of my studies, I spent 2 summers in an Amazonian region of Bolivia working with a group of forager horticulturalists. I was living in the remote villages with them and walking and canoeing from village to village to collect my data. I was working with a local translator who was helping me translate my Spanish into the local language and mapping villages so that I understood travel patterns of people. And I would say, looking back, it was one of the hardest and also most rewarding experiences that I've had. I have the utmost respect for people who generate the data that they work with in that way, but when I look back, I have to admit I'm very happy to be in a field now where I wake up to millions more data points rather than spending 2 or 3 hours trekking to somebody's house to interview them to get my data.
Looking at data collection with a new perspective for sure.
Yes.
That's amazing. But I'm sure all of those prepared you, of course, in one way, shape or form for the role that you have now and, of course, a kind of global scale that you deal with. So talk to us now about this theme of data science. What is it about data science that you find so deeply interesting and impactful?
I think I may have an answer that is a little bit different than some others in tech, because what I love about data science is the application of it. I think the math behind it is so fascinating, of course, and it's constantly evolving and a very interesting field to stay in the loop on. But what interests me the most is looking around the world and identifying new problems that I can leverage data science to solve. So, for instance, tying back to some of the things I mentioned about my background, generative AI is being used to identify new protein structures, which then can be used to accelerate drug development. That is entirely separate from my day-to-day, but I think that's incredible because I spent a summer crystallizing proteins in a lab, trying to generate those structures. And so to be able to now see that full evolution of what data science can do is really exciting to me.
Yeah. Wow. Indeed. Of course. And we're most definitely living in that golden age and big moment of transition, it feels like, even for humanity as a whole. So how exciting.
Absolutely.
How exciting, especially as experienced by you, given your passion space of this. So now tell us a little bit about sort of your day-to-day role, right? What do you do as VP in Starbucks? And it's obviously, as a logo, it's something that touches such a large portion of all of our daily lives. Tell us what your day-to-day look like. What do you do?
So my day-to-day is a mix of advocating for the use of data science to solve new problems, amplifying the work that my team does to ensure that it drives the maximum amount of decision-making, identifying new ways to make my team more efficient and impactful, and partnering with technology and business teams to build roadmaps that solve those most pressing business questions. I think what I probably didn't understand earlier in my career that I now do is that sounds wonderful. The reality is I send a lot of emails and I lead and participate in a lot of meetings and I love it.
Thank you for unpacking the day in the life of the white collar worker over here. But also, could you say a little bit more about, you introduced yourself as a VP of partner data science. What does that term mean for Starbucks more specifically as well?
So at Starbucks, we call our employees partners. And so in my title, when you see partner data science, it means that I support employee data science or people analytics. And so my team is responsible for using data and analytics to improve the employee experience for both our retail and our retail support partners.
Got it. So how might that touch upon the life of a barista, let's just say, a friendly neighborhood barista whom we grab a cup of coffee from?
So one of the teams that I partner with very closely is our human resources team. And so when you think about the kinds of decisions that a human resources team makes, it's things like compensation, benefits, designing training programs, ensuring that succession and career mobility are inclusive and thoughtful. And my team supports that full spectrum of activities, both with data science models and analytics.
Wonderful. So very impactful in terms of touching people's lives. And
yes.
And what does this level, magnitude, and sort of intimacy of impact mean for you personally as you reflect upon your career here?
This is the most meaningful role that I have had. And I think that is because of the scale, as you were mentioning, and the ability to see that impact personally. So when I was working in labs, I didn't get to see the output of what it was that I was doing. At best, I could see a DNA sequence or see a crystal that I had generated. But now I can walk into a Starbucks cafe and look around and see tools that my team has created, see smiles on baristas' faces, and know that is, at least in part, relative to the work that we're doing.
That's absolutely amazing. There's not a lot of us that can actually be that closely connected to our impact. And I also think there's a little bit of a fallacy and a myth out there. Curious for your thoughts on this, that data science in general is removed or two levels behind the scenes. Yeah, you're kind of analyzing some esoteric data. You're running some models. These are black boxes and outspout something and it gets used by a business user three layers down. But you're actually telling us quite the opposite, at least in your case, how it's played out at Starbucks.
I love that thread, Suji, because I think my experience has been that we do the best work in data science when we are as deeply embedded as we can be with our business partners. Each side of that team brings something to the table. And when we are working very closely, when we are deeply embedded, when we can see the impact of our work, that's when the best ideas happen. And so for me, it's just been very exciting to work so closely and to see the impact so directly.
Do you see this getting more pervasive potentially across broader than Starbucks a little bit more? Like, are you seeing that more and more companies are realizing that need for that kind of collaboration? Because I feel like historically, this used to be siloed teams, the technologists and the data scientists off doing their thing. And so I'm curious, just your observations on industry more macro than Starbucks.
Yeah, I certainly see that within the industry. When I talk with my peers, when I attend conferences, when I talk with others in the industry about skills that they interview for. And then my personal expectation is that as we see additional tools, particularly around generative AI coming into the picture, that that will put additional pressure on the soft skills that data scientists need to have in order to be successful in their roles.
That's really important. And that's why I was, are there other sort of ways or early signals that you're beginning to see where AI may further impact or change your work and your team's work?
Absolutely. I think one of the ideas that I'm really excited about is the idea of an analytics translator and the growth of that skill set in the next few years. To be clear, I'm not saying that I expect that to be a job description, but I think that is a skill set that is going to become much more important. And I see that as a blend of a product orientation and an analytical mindset so that you can help identify the best possible applications of this emerging technology. As a specific example, there's a lot of hype around generative AI, but a lot of what's being talked about are still classical AI problems. And what would be wonderful as a skill set is to have a greater pool of people who can help problem solve alongside business teams to identify again and narrow into those right problems for teams to be solving.
What do you think young people in the workforce who are entering it can do today to get themselves career ready to live in this world and thrive in this world and have a career here?
I think there are two things that come to mind for me. The first is figure out how you learn, because as we've been talking about, the field changes rapidly. It will change dramatically in 10 years in ways I can't even predict now. And so figuring out how it is you're going to continue to evolve your skill set and your learning is really important. I think the second thing that comes to mind for me, and it's certainly a theme for me, is investing in the soft skills. There are wonderful programs that can teach you to write SQL, that can teach you to write Python. You can get a degree in computer science, right? There's plenty of options for those things. But the skill set that differentiates, especially our new hires right now, is that they can frame a problem, they have strong business acumen, they can speak to their findings. That's where I would personally advise folks who are early in career to spend more of their time. That's going to be a really big differentiator.
That's awesome. Very practical advice. Let's shift gears a little bit. And I think we went quite deep into the AI speak. So let's talk a little bit more about your own experiences and some that were quite impactful earlier on. So before your Starbucks days, you had your first management role and you found it a little tough initially. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that experience?
Of course. There is a book called Making of a Manager that I wish I had read, because in my first role as a people leader, I fell into some really classic traps. The situation was that I was promoted to continue the work that was being done by a prior leader. So I went from working with my peers to suddenly managing them. And classically, I thought that I was promoted to keep everything the same. And so I mimicked everything about this prior leader, how they structured their team, their style, their mannerisms. And the first few weeks were, in hindsight, an absolute failure because I was so uncomfortable and I wasn't getting the responses that I expected from the team. And it felt insincere. My team also didn't appreciate it, unsurprisingly. And eventually they pulled me aside to tell me that, to share that feedback with me. And it was very hard in the moment because, of course, you're a person who's stepping into a new role. You're very excited. You want to be successful. And it's very hard to hear that harsh feedback. But looking back, that's the most important feedback that I've received probably in my career, because it was such a pivotal moment then for me to adjust my approach and to spend some time figuring out what my authentic leadership approach was going to be.
Feedback is a gift. There's a reason they say that, even if it is, as you say, in the moment, so hard to take in.
Yes.
What is your approach to a more authentic management style now?
I value data, of course. I also value accountability, connection, and being deliberate or measured. And as a result, I've shifted my approach to create those spaces for myself. So I need, and in order to be successful, I need informal and formal opportunities to connect with my team so that when I do have to push them, when I do have to deliver a tough message, it comes from somebody who knows them, who they trust. Even a small thing that I've carried over from academia is this idea of office hours. So I have time that my team can drop in and share a cool idea of what they're working on, a photo of their pet in an interesting costume, whatever it is that is important to them in that moment. And that's been really important to me. I think the other thing that is more about how I manage myself is that I like to be more measured. I like to be more deliberate. I like to choose my words carefully and think about the impact that they're going to have on others. And so I sometimes have to sit with information longer than others to make a decision. And so I try to plan that now into my time so that way I don't force myself to behave in a way that's incongruent with who I am.
Everything in life is a journey, and it's only sometimes you look back, you realize the journey you've been on, but it certainly sounds like you've discovered sort of your authentic self. You've had the privilege of having so many of these mentors who've come along at right moments of time in your career, who've offered you timely advice and help. Can you share some examples of what might be some of those important or useful or memorable events or times for you?
I once heard someone speak about leadership, and their style resonated so much with me. I heard them describe their approach, and it just felt like a light bulb in the moment. That's what I'm aiming for. I hadn't seen it before, but that's what it is. And they talked about two things that I'll share with you, both really on a similar theme. The first was, when you progress as a leader, you're on the big screen. Even when you're not aware of it, people are watching you to see how you react and how you respond. And to me, that's been very important and impactful. It doesn't mean that you should be fake or dishonest, but you have to be aware of the energy that you're bringing into a situation. And so again, this comes back to this theme of being deliberate or measured. But to me, that means if I come in really hot with a strong opinion, a hot take, I try to stop myself and share more context about why it is that I have that perspective. So that way they're not seeing the snapshot of me alone. They're seeing it within this broader context of other facts or things I may know. The second thing that this leader said, which again resonated very strongly with me, was for each person that you meet with, you may be their big meeting of the day. So as a leader, you may meet with 10 different people, but for some of the people that you're meeting with, they have planned specifically their talk track for coming to talk to you. And so for me, again, this resonates really strongly with this idea of servant leadership, so that we are, again, managing ourselves to be what it is that we think our teams need from us.
Amazingly well said. So take us back and tell us about a time when you felt in your element.
Absolutely. I'll give you a time not that long ago. One of my team members came to me with an idea that they had been quietly incubating for a while. They were looking for some specific data about our stores that didn't exist in our data lake. And they went out, they found the data, they converted it from images into some structured data, and they proved that it was possible to acquire this data. So when they came to me, I was super excited to learn more about their innovation project, but I really didn't know what I was getting into. And I left that conversation really excited, not just about their ingenuity and their creative problem solving, but also about the potential unlock for the business. It was a great moment for me. I felt like I was in my element because I got to throw everything that I had in support of them, the relationships that I had to amplify the work, the connections that I had to get them support and resources to solve that problem, the translation skills that I had to help bring that potential to life as potential impact. And so for me, that was a recent moment where I really felt like I was in my element.
That was my conversation with Emily. Camilla, what did you think?
I loved our conversation with Emily Tsuchi. One of the things that really stood out to me is how she reflects on her role at the table and that there is a choice to opt into, to show up and saying, I will be connected to the business and to this broader set of conversations and play that role and realize that your role isn't boxed into your job description, into your title, into your job function, and really allowing yourself to transcend it and therefore increase sort of the radius of your impact and allow others to see that in you and to be able to draw that. And what awesome role modeling for others to say, data scientists, engineers, others that we think of in very archetype-like ways can look very differently. Tsuchi, what stands out to you the most in this conversation?
I think the other really important thing she did in this conversation for us was to talk about the imposter syndrome. Again, we've had a lot of guests who've in various ways referred to it, but she really gave it life, made it come real as she talked about her own first leadership transition and how she struggled with that, trying to emulate someone else's behavior, which I think is, it just rings so many bells. Who hasn't been in sort of that position the first time around, wondering what's the approach they need to take? And then for her to grow so gracefully into her own authentic self and find her voice and her confidence and then own it. I loved it when she said, I like to sit with these things and be thoughtful about it and just owning the implications. I take a little bit longer, but you know, that's me. And then what comes out is really thoughtful. So more power to her. It was just very inspirational to hear her say that.
Well, that's all for today. This has been In Her Element, a podcast from BCG.
Join us next time to hear more meaningful and vulnerable conversations with women leaders in digital, business, and technology.
Thank you so much for listening.